And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome back to Championship Week Video Notebook Night, whatever, as we are here Monday night, or actually heading into Tuesday morning, March 8th. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, and about to explode over there, David Griggs. David, how are you, and what's going on?
Horrible! You said it was a mistake. You said it was going to be fixed. It's not fixed. Have you looked at the whack bracket? It's not fixed.
I have looked at it. We're going to get to... You know what? Why don't we just start right there?
It's not fixed.
Well, first of all, also joining us is John Sleeka. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well here in a mythical Miami Valley conference country, as we'll get to on two different fronts.
Yeah, but... Here it is. We just checked 5 minutes ago. I just pulled this off. If you can see it on my screen. Dave, this is what you're upset about.
Yes! The Lopes are not there. We have the way... I mean, you can look it up. You can look it up on Twitter, Lopes Waiver. You can see that we've tweeted the NCAA. You can see that we've called the NCAA. You can see the White House petition. The WAC is still... I mean, is this a mistake, or are they just ignoring us?
I don't know, but we are here. It's actually... We're early Tuesday morning, Thursday, these games start. We got to get this fixed. And what I've got to show you right here, this is Jeff Hurd, Commissioner of the WAC. And right there, if you can see on the screen, here's his phone number, 303-962-4216. His email, jhurd@wac.org. Right. David.
Well, I think we should call him.
I think we
should call him.
Well, I think we need to get things moving here. I think we need to get people out there letting Jeff know, fix this bracket.
I mean, Jeff, come on. This is just an embarrassing oversight on his part.
I mean, this is his job, isn't it?
It is his job. I realize you said that, like, I think we should call him, but...
Let's see. Let's give him one more day to fix things. Okay. If he doesn't, Jeff, we're giving you a call tomorrow night, I think.
We're calling him tomorrow night, yes.
But on that note, we do want to get right into the games that were played today. We had some incredible games today, quite honestly. Yeah. We had one of the most unbelievable days of Championship Week. And let's start right here in the Metro Atlantic Conference. The first of three automatic bids given out today were Iona 79, Monmouth 76. John, good game here tonight, wasn't it?
Yep, the duel between Justin Robinson, the Monmouth bench, and A.J. English certainly lived up to the hype, and Iona just had a few more shots in their back pocket, so congratulations to the Gaels for moving on.
Yeah, I mean, this was just a really good game. A late technical foul on Deion Jones for Monmouth really hurt them in this three-point loss. But it was just a bad play on his part. He started taunting a guy right after the refs had warned him. He deserved it. You're shaking your head, John.
I said he'd certainly deserved it.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the worst possible time.
And again, this is just, I mean, it's reminiscent of some of the old Big East, Big Eight, ACC rivalries that, I mean, we still have a smattering of those now, but the difference was, this was for all the marbles. Like, I mean, the stakes of this game were incredibly high, relatively speaking, because the automatic bid was on the line, and it wasn't between two teams that, yeah, the automatic bid's on the line, but both are likely to end up as protected seeds anyway. It reminded me of some of those old Colonial games, the VCU Old Dominion rivalries, and the like. Just what a great game, what a tense game, back and forth, a lot of bitterness between these two teams. And Monmouth is – Iona was not getting in without this win. I don't think anybody thought that they would. Iona being the best team last year and arguably the best team the year before, losing in the championship game, getting it done this year. Monmouth right on the bubble. I don't know if the committee will take them or not. I'm guessing they will. The reason I think they will, and we talked about this on our bracket show, is because of how many road games they've won and how many out-of-conference road games they played. They took Iona. I think it was either 2011 and 2012 with a similar profile. I think this Monmouth profile is stronger. I think the committee takes them, Chad. If I had to guess, I think the committee will take them.
I agree with you. I think they could take them. They're going to send them to Dayton in the first four. I think that's the perfect place for this Monmouth team. Iona, you know, I just want to give a, you know, the all the fun we've had with Tim Klus all year. I think that he did do a good job today. And yeah. AJ English, while the Iona team did make the NCAA tournament in his freshman year, he was injured, so he's going to get to play his first ever NCAA tournament in his senior season. So there are some feel-good stories there. Most of this Monmouth team is back next year, too. It'll be a real dangerous team.
They really will be. Season,
even if they don't make the field this year.
Right.
Right now, I've pulled up on our screen here the Colonial. That was our other great conference tournament championship game tonight. UNC Wilmington and Hofstra in overtime game that Hofstra led early by about 10 points. And you thought they were just going to run away with this. And then finally, Wilmington, with about 6 minutes left, started putting their run together, David.
Yeah, again, like you said, Hofstra opened up the big lead early, appeared to be running away with it. And Wilmington just didn't look good at all right out of the gate. But the last 30 minutes of the game, they really buckled down. This was a really good game. I mean, the chalk did hold in this conference. That's been kind of a rarity this week, but it did in this one. And I thought both these teams had been playing about equally as well down the stretch. I think either of them would have been a dangerous round of 64 opponent. Wilmington, I don't know who they're going to end up playing, but, I mean, they're capable of winning a game in the round of 64.
Well, John, let me throw a question out here to you. Hofstra, I mean, this Colonial Conference was one of the top 10 conferences all season by RPI, KenPom, those types of ratings. Hofstra tied for first, probably had the better overall profile of the two teams that tied for first. Any shot that we could see them sneak into the field?
When you look at the top of Hofstra's profile, don't forget they have a win against Florida State in the Paradise Jam way back in November. But they also have a three-game sweep over William & Mary. They did get one win at NC Wilmington's campus, as well as a pair of wins against Northeastern, and also a win at St. Bonaventure, which has looked much better as the season has gone on. I mean, about the only black mark that Hofstra really has is going to be getting swept by James Madison, but even by Colonial standards, that's not bad at all.
I'm guessing no, but I like them a lot better than some of the other bubble teams. I think they are better than Florida State. They beat Florida State. I know it was early, but they did beat them. I think their profile's better. I think their team's better. And to top it all off, they beat them head-to-head, and I think they'd beat them again if they played them again. The win at St. Bonaventure is pretty good.
That's their best win. Way better than the Florida State win, the way Florida State's
right now. I mean, I could make a case for them if I really had to. Now, they don't have anything too ugly on their profile, do they? I know they didn't make our field. And again, we did our bracket rundown. That's just our committee. We're not guessing the real committee. But they were close, weren't they, Chad? They were within three or four spots of it.
They were in our top eight out, not in our top four out, but in our top eight out. So they did get some serious consideration. They actually would have been in our top four out except for the fact that some of these other upsets tonight, like Monmouth and Valpo, which we're going to get to in a minute here. But yeah. Let's go to the third conference tournament championship game. It's going to take a second to load here, but here it should be coming up right now. There it was, Chattanooga 73, East Tennessee State 67. And David, congratulations to the Chattanooga Mocs, the only one seed to win a conference tournament so far.
Yeah, and they had their toe stubs in this conference. I mean, there were a couple games that they dropped that they really had no business. And they had to sweat out a couple games in this tournament. But by far the best team all year. For the longest time, we thought they were inside the bubble. They're not inside the bubble, but they are inside the field as the automatic qualifier. So congrats to the Mocs.
Yeah, and John, what do you think? A 12 seed type for the Mocs?
I definitely think they're going to be a 12 or at the very least a high 13 now that they have the double and the SoCon.
All right, let's go on here to some of the semifinals that were actually played today. And let's start in the Horizon League, we were talking last night about how the conference tournament had pretty much been had actually been complete chalk through the first two rounds. Did not happen tonight by any means, as Valparaiso and Oakland both receiving double byes, playing two teams that had played each of the last two nights, and yet both going down. Valpo 99-92 in overtime to Green Bay after an amazing shot at almost with about 0.2 seconds left on a baseball pass to tie it, the end of regulation. And then Wright State not taking out Oakland as well.
Yeah, the Valpo game was kind of, I mean, you just kept waiting for them to wake up. Now, Valpo was the first place team. I still think that if this game's at Valpo, they win it. And I also think that the game should have been at Valpo. But having said that, Valpo, I was really, really big on Valpo, and you know that from the Under the Radar podcast. I was ranking them number one in Under the Radar and had them inside my bubble for the longest time. But you noticed it. Like, it wasn't just an off night tonight. The last couple weeks, they've looked rather weak. They've either lost games or barely beaten teams that they should have been rolling over. And no offense to Green Bay, they're not an NIT caliber team, much less an at-large caliber team, which we believed Valpo to be, and they lost. And it isn't the only game that they've either lost or had trouble winning in the latter part of the season. Was it an upset? Yes. Is it a surprise? I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, I think Valpo will probably stay on the committee's board probably the whole time, but I don't think they get in the field. They'd probably be maybe top 8 out or so at the end of the day, maybe top 10 out. But, John, Green Bay versus Wright State coming up tomorrow night, not a championship game anybody predicted, but who do you like in this game?
You have to love the resiliency that Green Bay has had over the past couple of years. Let's not forget that 2 years ago they themselves were on the fringe of the bubble. Our own committee thought that Green Bay was going to get in, but instead they got shafted by teams like NC State and Tennessee. But Wright State is another team that's come quite a long way since December, and we saw that happen at Cintas Center when they just got completely blasted by Xavier.
Yeah. And what do you look like? Wright State, their RPI is 140s. I'm thinking 15-16 range.
Yeah, I'm thinking
for either team, really.
Yeah, either team. I'm thinking 15. See, probably not going to be 16 because of the upsets with teams like Austin Peay and whoever comes out of the Patriot League are going to be filling up those 16 lines. But let me let's turn to the Summit League, John. This was just a lousy night tonight in the Summit League. These games were not close at all. They were just, you know, this was just lousy, lousy basketball. I mean, 69-68 and 54-53, right?
Yeah. Yep, the Denver-South Dakota game would have certainly been a Lee Delvecchio delight because
he was delighted.
Who wanted it less when you look at how the fouls that were called and ultimately it was decided by a missed free throw for Denver?
Yeah, Denver fouls South Dakota State with about 8 seconds left to give South Dakota State two free throws. They make one of them. And then with 3 seconds left in the backcourt, South Dakota State commits a foul on Denver. Now, on the replay, I did not see the foul. I thought, if anything, it was an offensive foul to push off. I think it was a lousy call. But he shouldn't have been that close to the player anyhow. Shouldn't have even been that close. And then the kid from Denver misses the front end of the 1-1, and the game's over.
It's a good thing they can't use replay to reverse a foul like that, because we probably would have had about 5 or 10 minutes of the referees watching
the
television.
Game wasn't over yet. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I like more than watching referees watch television on television.
But, David, the other game, IP Fort Wayne thought they I mean, they had a huge lead early in this game, and about the last 5 minutes, it was a hell of a comeback by North Dakota State to win this one.
It really was, and it was, I mean, IPFW was just trucking them and looking really good, and I'm sitting there thinking, holy cow, I mean, can this IPFW team get up to the 13 line, which is, I think, where we could have had them, and give someone a really big show? And then, you know, they lost it to last year's champion, and I think we called it, all of us called it, really, back in October. It's on the podcast, and we did not edit it. This is exactly where we thought we'd be, North Dakota State, South Dakota State.
And I think I called – we called South – actually, we were calling South Dakota State most of the season. They had a little bit of slip-up at the end of the season there.
Yeah.
I'm going to still go with the Jackrabbits tomorrow, even though I think the North Dakota State probably looked better today. I'm going to go with the better – I think they're the better team overall. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to one of the conferences that was in the semifinal, one of two other conferences actually in the semifinal rounds today, but did have the semifinals of the West Coast Conference. We just got done watching those before we came on here as St. Mary's blasted Pepperdine, getting revenge for the two regular season losses, and then Gonzaga won a real good game against BYU, David.
Yeah, really good game, really well-played game on both sides. Something that we have not said much about Gonzaga. They played a good team and beat a team that played well against them. Generally, when Gonzaga wins, the other team plays like crap. So, nice win for them. And, I mean, real exciting game tomorrow. I think that the loser is out, personally. I certainly feel like the loser should be out. But, you know, this is the premier rivalry in the West Coast Conference, and here we are again tomorrow, and it should be fun.
Yeah, well, I still maintain that the West Coast Conference got their best-case scenario right here because St. Mary's, I don't know what else they really have to prove after having already beaten Gonzaga twice, but they would still be best served to beat them a third time just to be absolutely sure. But as I've said before, until someone knocks off the Zags, I'm still going with them to get the automatic bid here.
I am too.
The only thing I'm glad about is that as BYU is officially out now, we are not going to have to worry about some Sunday. One other conference that was in the semifinal round stage today, the championship is not coming up tomorrow. The championship won't actually be until Saturday morning or Saturday early in the day, at least. That's the America East, where we do not have results. So thank you very much.
Where do we have the correct matchups?
Well, let's tell you what did happen here. Stony Brook rolled over Hartford 80-64. Vermont pretty much rolled over New Hampshire. The final score was 63-56, but it really wasn't even that close. It was a late New Hampshire run that got it, that actually made it somewhat competitive looking. So ignore what you see on the screen there. We've got coming up here now on Saturday, Vermont at Stony Brook. Stony Brook's only home loss of the season, the regular season finale against Vermont, David.
Yeah. So this one should be fun. It's the top – well, no, it's not. It's not. It's two of the top three teams. I like Stony Brook to finally get it done.
John, you agree?
As long as they don't have Albany fans coming into Stony Brook to troll the Sea Wolves, I'm going with Stony Brook as well.
Well, have we looked at that yet? What are the odds? I know it's a little bit of a long shot, but it's not completely out of the question. What are the odds Albany wins on Saturday?
What are the odds Albany wins on Saturday? I think it's somewhere right around 0%.
Okay. You never know.
but let's go over to the Mid-American Conference, and this is one that I do have the bracket up directly from the conference website because I knew there were problems here with CBS on this one. Today we had the four first-round games played at campus sites. Only two of the host teams actually won their games, Northern Illinois, a close one over Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan, not quite as close over Toledo, not even as close as that final score, but a pair of crazy upsets. The 11th seed Miami, Ohio winning at Ball State and the 12th seed Bowling Green winning at a pretty good Kent State team that just by virtue of a loss to Akron in the regular season finale ended up down in the 5th seed.
Yes, so sad that Kent State was not able to make it to their game today. this is a Ball State team that wasn't good, but they were good at home. And to lose, I mean, for those two teams to lose... Miami and Bowling Green were horrible, yet here they are with the wins.
Yeah, and John, Miami is your adopted team, your appointed team, and you move on until it's going to be coming up Thursday into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, overall, Miami did not have a great season, but they did show some flashes of brilliance late in the year against Buffalo and Ohio, even in a losing effort. And Dayton in a losing effort,
a one-point game.
Well, that was earlier in the year, but at the same time, they get a rematch with Buffalo, who wants to beat New York's team.
We're not calling them New York.
David, do you think Bowling Green or Miami can keep this going?
No, not at all.
We'll be talking about these teams again in a couple of nights here when we move up towards the quarterfinal round. Two other games that were played today, including a double overtime game in the MEAC. Let's get these scores up here right now. These were the first two of the four opening round games. Saw Savannah State with a late comeback to nip Delaware State, and Coppin State with a double overtime upset of North Carolina A&T. John, we're thrilled by these games, weren't you?
Yep, I picked them both wrong here, but still you got your money's worth if you went to the opening doubleheader tonight, getting almost three games for one here.
Yeah, okay. And David, coming up tomorrow night, Maryland Eastern Shore, Morgan State, and North Carolina Central Howard in the other two opening round games. Anything you're looking forward to with either of these?
Well, nothing other than just, I know that they're way down in the standings, but Maryland Eastern Shore's program is actually quite a bit improved. So I'd like to see them win and play at least one more day.
Yeah, Bobby Collins has done a great job of rebuilding that program.
We're not being facetious. He really has.
Yeah, I mean, they did not have, they had a couple of good years the last 2 years, I believe. This year, down a bit, see if they can bounce back next season or maybe make a run this year. It's not unheard of to happen in this conference.
Right.
Some other games coming up tomorrow, in addition to the three conference tournament championship games we already discussed, one other championship game tomorrow, Fairleigh Dickinson at Wagner in the Northeast Conference title game. And game I've been circling for a couple nights now. This is one I'm really looking forward to, and I'm not being facetious here either.
Right. Oh, this one's going to be fun. This whole league's been fun. This whole tournament's been fun. I'm looking forward to this one big time. And I think the winner might get any chance they get inside the first four with all the craziness that we've seen.
I think I'd have them up to the second highest first four team right now. I think I would have Austin Peay and the Patriot League champion below them, so there's a chance they could sneak up there. John, who do you like here?
I think this is going to be a bit of a pick'em, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Wagner here and possibly go on to face Villanova in Brooklyn would be one of their dreams.
Well, I don't think Wagner would be scheduled to Brooklyn because of that might be considered too close for them. But Fairleigh Dickinson probably could go to Brooklyn.
Have you seen the traffic between Staten Island and Brooklyn?
Good point. I mean, it's
traffic. A few other, four other conferences that will be kicking off tomorrow that we have not yet discussed, and including the first of what I guess we'll call the major conferences, a power conferences. It is opening round day in the ACC, and David, I know you are thrilled for these two games, NC State, Wake Forest, Florida State, Boston College.
I don't know why. I really do enjoy the opening rounds and quarterfinal rounds of the quote-unquote under-the-radar conferences. I don't really get excited about these games. Now, we will watch them. We always do. But how are you excited about any of these?
I want to see Boston College more for the comedy value than anything else tomorrow. But the question here we have with every new conference we begin is who do you feel is going to win this tournament? David, let me start with you, then John, I'll ask you the same question.
Well, I don't think it'll be any of the four teams playing tonight. But as far as who's going to win it, I'm going to go with chalk and say it's going to be North Carolina.
John, you agree with Carolina, or you want to go somewhere else?
I'm going to go with the quote-unquote hometown team here, and that's going to be the Virginia Cavaliers.
I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to go with Miami here. I know they're coming off of a really ugly regular season finale, but I'm going to go with Jim Larranaga's squad. I think they probably have the easiest quarterfinal round game, which should help them a lot there with the fact they're going to be playing Boston College in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's a little presumptuous, but
But really, Virginia Tech, I'd rather play Virginia Tech than Clemson, Georgia Tech, Duke, Pitt, or Syracuse, any of those other first-round teams. Also kicking off tomorrow, we've got the one and only game on the schedule tomorrow in Conference USA, the opening round game. Last year they didn't even have an opening round. They eliminated the last-place teams, but this year they've gone and added in an opening round, Florida Atlantic and Texas San Antonio, in a game that should be mind-numbingly painful to watch.
That's why I want to go back to the ACC for a moment. Who's going to find it funny that Pitt and Syracuse are going to be playing on the floor of their one of their former arch rivals at Georgetown?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Let's talk about Conference USA, David. Anything with tomorrow's game, and more importantly, who do you think wins the conference tournament, being that it is in Birmingham and UAB is the one seed?
It seems to me that you could have condensed this down into 4 days. It started Wednesday, ended Saturday. Everybody gets an extra day before they have to be there. And we have what I love, and that's the quintuple header. Now, I realize the reason only 13 are in there is because Southern Miss extracted themselves, and it makes sense to have an opening round. But I don't – like, this is a one-bid league. UAB has looked the best. It's in Birmingham, albeit not on their campus. I think UAB gets it done. But, I mean, a team to watch out for – is really this Old Dominion team. They've been grossly underachieving all year, but I think that they have probably the most talent, and it wouldn't surprise me if they stepped up and did something big. Marshall playing really well as well.
I agree with everything you said, David, which is why I'm going with Middle Tennessee to win this.
Okay.
But, John, your thoughts on the conference? I am going with Middle Tennessee. I do like this Middle Tennessee team. I think Kermit Davis has done a great job there this year. By Conference USA standards, at least. But, John, your thoughts on CUSA?
I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop on Marshall, but that still hasn't happened yet. I think they can actually make it to the championship game against UAB, but I find it hard to believe that anyone's going to be able to stop the Blazers in Birmingham.
A couple more conferences still to go here. Tomorrow, the Road to Reno, they've been calling it. It is the first round games in the Big Sky Conference. For the first time ever, Big Sky going 12 teams. And I am a little bit excited about this conference just by the fact that this conference is going out to the 12-team format. A lot more games. It is a fun conference to watch, and we're going to get to see teams like Southern Utah and North Dakota and Northern Colorado that we generally don't even see playing in the Big Sky Conference tournament. John, let's start with these games tomorrow. Anything about these four games tomorrow? And then again, who do you think wins this?
Yeah, it's also quite a fall for grace from Northern Arizona, who was actually in the CIT championship game last year. And let's not forget that Southern Utah was actually our centenary winner 2 years ago. So I'm not seeing anything terribly exciting, but as we saw in Conference USA last year, you never know when you're going to get a buzzer beater from half court, so who knows what kind of a debut they'll make in Reno for tomorrow.
And your champion, John?
Champion, I'm going to go with Montana in this one.
David?
I'm really going to take a stab at something here. Weber in Montana kind of ran away from the rest of the league. I think they'll do that through the tournament. I think they'll meet in the championship, and I think the winner of that game we'll go on to the NCAA tournament.
Good job. Weber State, we mentioned that Joel Ballenboy, their star player, who's an NBA prospect, had been injured. He is back healthy. He did play the regular season finale. I am going to go with Weber for that reason to win this.
I'm surprised you're not going for Idaho.
I know I play for them, but we'll give Montana a game in the semifinals, I think. Finally, last but certainly not least, we have opening round day tomorrow in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the SWAC. Mississippi Valley State, Grambling, Alabama A&M, Arkansas Pine Bluff. The big question, does Grambling pick up yet another win in what's been a almost historically good season for them?
I hope so. And yes, I think so. I think they do.
At the top end of this conference, first of all, I think that this bracket is wrong. I'm pretty sure that Texas Southern is the one seed and Alcorn is the two seed. So, once again, CBS.
Are these games being streamed?
What we do have, in fact, we've confirmed this, is that the two games tomorrow and the two quarterfinals that will be played on Wednesday the 9th will be streamed. The other two quarterfinals of the semifinals will not be. This is SWAC logic for you. I don't have it quite figured it out. Right. But we will have streaming of two games. One other point of note here, Alcorn State, who I believe is actually the 2 seed here, and I think they need to be flipped in what you're looking at, is on the APR ban list, is ineligible, has a chance as the 2 seed, though, to make the championship game and set up the ultra-rare double court storming.
Right. That would be something.
If they do win the conference tournament, whoever they beat in the finals will get the automatic bid, not the Atlantic Sun rules. Right. David, I'm going with Texas Southern. You agree with me there?
Yes, I do.
And John?
I think the good news here is we don't have to worry about David Griggs being banned from Houston this year for trying to award the Centenary Award to
I think Grambling has a case, but...
Well, they picked up a road win on their race last week, and that's going to really hurt their chances, I think.
Right.
But I think I'm actually going to take a surprise here and go with a Southern, but not Texas Southern, to win the title.
All right, it's not a bad pick. I'm going to try to get that bracket confirmed, but David, I think it's time to do our nightly tweet.
Yeah, it's time for our weekly correspondence. We're going to try and get Joe Castiglione right here. Let's see if we can... where is it? Let's see if we can see it. Can we see it yet?
Lock in your screen there. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. And again, we're reaching out to Joe Castiglione, and we've been corresponding with him every night. And what we're trying to do is offer up our help in any way we can to assist him with the selection process. And, you know, we have a good dialogue going. Granted, it's all been one way. He hasn't responded yet. But, I mean, again, he's just been kind of busy. I'm starting to think he's kind of ignoring us. But we recorded our Hoops HD bracket rundown show earlier. And this is what we're saying. Joe, just wanted to make sure the committee watched our show so you know what teams to look at. And then there's the link. There it is. So we are going to send this to Joe Castiglione right now. There it goes. And it's been tweeted. And so anyway, he should be tweeting back pretty soon, maybe before we're done here. But is again, we're going to keep this dialogue going with him, this correspondence, every night on our notebook.
We're also going to give him a reminder of the 8 teams that you see in blue here, which are definitely going to the NCAA tournament. And we also now have 6 teams that have won their conferences but are probably not going to be going to the tournament. So we have them highlighted in red and probably going to the NIT.
Yeah, and this is going to be exciting because we start, I believe, tomorrow, is it? I mean, today being Tuesday, tomorrow being Wednesday, we start our process. And I'm just looking forward to this ongoing dialogue and correspondence with Joe about what they're doing and comparing that to what we're doing. I mean, I'm excited about this. I don't know about you, Chad.
Yeah, it should be good. Now, I was trying to get the SWAC bracket up on my screen. I'm not sure if it's showing or not. I'm having a little bit of trouble here.
Yeah.
But as there was a mistake in the bracket we showed it. It is 1 seed Texas Southern, 2 seed Alcorn State. David, if we want to do, I guess the last thing we want to do is pull up our survival board if we can get that up.
Yes, we'll get that up here in just a second. Let's see if we... See,
meanwhile, I think we're going to see musical acts for the SWAC a lot quicker at this rate.
Right. I believe we have the survival board up now.
Okay, and how many teams were we at here?
230 is what it looks like, yeah. And kind of a busy night. I believe there were 23 games tonight. Not everybody was eliminated.
Yeah, there were a lot of teams that lost tonight that we had in italics, teams like Hofstra, Monmouth, Valpo. Those teams were not eliminated despite their losses. They would still remain in italics and under consideration. There were teams, obviously, that did get eliminated, though. So let's go ahead and refresh that, and we'll see where we are heading into tomorrow.
And right at 216.
216, again.
With the asterisk. Now, we have got to get this straightened out. I mean, the process begins this week. The tournaments begin this week. We've got to get this straightened out. And I guess if we don't hear anything by the time we're on the air tomorrow, Chad, I think we need to call Jeff.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, Jeff, if you're out there, if you're watching this show, which you should be, right. And there's no reason not to be watching us,
right.
Get this fixed, because if you don't, we're going to have to call you and we're going to have to get this resolved on the air tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't want to have to do that. We just want it to be smooth, you know.
But on that note, any other thoughts about this evening's games, John?
I don't think we really have anything else to add other than what we've already added as far as the carnage that the bubble has now taken because of tonight's results.
Carnage in the bubble, maybe not carnage in the field, though, if it ends up being that teams like Monmouth, Valpo, and Hofstra are not really at-large candidates. David, though, your final thoughts?
Just that, like, I kind of hate it for Hofstra, but I thought Wilmington and Hofstra were about even. I thought either of them would be tough games in the round of 64. I personally, I don't think the committee will take Hofstra, but I would like to see them get in. Chances are, I think that they're better than some of the teams the committee will take, and I do think they'll take Monmouth. I really do think they'll take Monmouth.
I think you're right on both counts there. But on that note, for John Sleek and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. #LopesWaiver.